our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church and start a series on prayer, because prayer is a big deal. It is a big part of our Christian life, and it is a big part of what moves things in the spirit realm, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited about getting more and more, diving more and more into prayer, and we're going to do that a little more today. So let's just get going. And it's just yesterday we were able to serve the community with the food bank. There was a lot of cars yesterday, more than I was used to seeing, but it seems like we are definitely meeting a need in the community biblically, right? Feeding the hungry. So that's always just a blessing to sacrifice the time. And it is sacrifice to get up at 6:30 in the morning, right? But once you've served the Lord long enough, you come to realize that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Right? It really, really is. So all of those that do come on Saturdays to help, just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because I know it's a sacrifice, but you are helping and you're making a difference. And yesterday we needed every person, right? Because we were close to not having enough people. We had skeleton crew, but God just keeps sending people. Right? We have maybe about 10 of you, 10 to 12 of us that go, and we have a total of 35 that need to show up, 30, 35. So the other 20, 25 are coming from just people who want to help. And we have a gentleman from down the north, right, Mario, that comes and brings like six of his, Glee Club, I don't know what the club is, kids that all, they like to do service in the community, and every Saturday they're doing something. And it's amazing how God puts things together. But when God's in it, He makes it happen. And He puts something in your heart, and He'll use you. If you're willing to be used, He'll use you. And that's what's happening. And we're just blessed to be able to be part of the, as Pastor Green likes to say, or always said, part of the answer in the community and not part of the problem, right? Causing problems. So let's go right into the sermon today. Part two of prayer. Why does prayer work? Why does it work? Last week we talked about can God be persuaded? That's a question. That was what we answered last week. Can God be persuaded? Can you convince God to act on your behalf? If you missed it, here's a plug on the website, right? Right. That was the cue for Victoria. Did she get the cue, Joseph? Did she? Okay, she got the cue. Joseph was like, if you missed it and you want the answer, whether or not you can persuade God, you need to go listen to it online. It's only like 15, 20 minutes of your time. And we still having trouble with the website. Is that what's? I guess we are. But anyway. Oh, there's our website. Nice. If you go down to the right, it says recent sermons, and I guess we're not cut up. So we need to put it up there, right? Poor Joseph didn't know I was going to do this. They're like, why did he have to do that this week? So Joseph tonight will do his best to get the sermon, Can God Be Persuaded? If you want the scripture backing behind that, you can listen to that online. So praise the Lord. You can always listen to the sermons. If you miss a week, you can always listen to them online. That's good. The Bible is clear that God wants us to pray, and to pray often, without ceasing, consistently. Not every second without ceasing, but without ceasing meaning keep praying, be consistent, be persistent. So, because there is power in prayer, do not relinquish the power by not praying. You know, there's power in prayer. Why would we relinquish the power by not praying, right? Why would you purposely give away power that God has given us in the power of prayer? Why would we do that? Reclaim the power of God in your life in prayer. So today's sermon is this. Why does prayer work? What's going on? Why does it work? First of all, the easy answer is this. Prayer works because God said it works. Right? And that's good enough, right? We can end right there. But I know you don't want to end right there. You want a little more information. So why does prayer work? Well, God says that it works. In John chapter 14, verse 12, let's just read a few scriptures to set the foundation. John chapter 14, verse 12. God's word says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus speaking to us, "he that believeth on me, that the works that I do shall they also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So Jesus tells the people, you'll do greater works than even I'm doing, because I'm going to go to my Father. Verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So why does prayer work? Because Jesus said that if you go and you request in the name of Jesus, you ask, he will move. And he will move, the last part is very important, to bring glory to the kingdom of God. Right? Jesus being part of the Trinity. The reason why God answers our prayer is not so that you can be happy. I'm sorry to tell you. Right? He answers our prayer because his word is truth. And when he answers prayer, it glorifies the name of Jehovah. Right? It glorifies Jehovah Jireh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he answers our prayer as part of him showing off his glory to people around you. Right? When God answers your prayer and a miracle happens, and you're able to say, "I prayed and God answered it," and you tell somebody that, it brings glory to his name. And so he answers prayer. And there it is. If you ask, he will answer. In Philippians chapter 4, turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I got good sleep last night, so I don't always get good sleep, but last night I got good sleep, so I can see. I think it's related to my sleep. Yeah, I'm just kidding myself, right? Put the glasses on. Be careful, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." Here we go again, right? God in his word keeps reminding us, telling us, pray, make your request known unto God. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So God is asking us to pray. Amen. He wants us to pray. Let your request be known to God. And the last one, to just kind of put a bow around this thought, John 4, 3. I believe that's 1 John 4, 3. I put John, but it's 1 John 4, 3. Oh, wait, I don't think that's correct. Someone can find it for me. 1 John 4, 3. Maybe it's my glasses. How about that? Well, it is the scripture that says, when you ask, don't ask amiss. Don't ask selfishly. So God wants us to ask. God's going to answer the prayer request. But he doesn't want us to ask selfishly, right? Or in a carnal mind. That's clear. So when it's so important to read the whole scripture. Because, you know, you can read one piece that says, I can ask anything. And he answers it. Okay, let me go ask for stuff for me. Or my own agenda. Well, that's not how it works. When you read the whole scriptures, it says, don't ask amiss, right? So there are barriers to prayer that the promise is there for, that he's going to answer. And that's important, that we don't go pray for that lottery ticket every day and think that God's not answering our prayer, right? So there are boundaries, but it's important to understand what the whole scripture is trying to tell us. And it's trying to tell us this: pray. Pray consistently, pray persistently, and God will move. As long as you're not praying for your own reasons, for your own selfish reasons. In James, oh, thank you. James chapter 4, 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So that kind of puts the whole concept together. God wants us to pray. He's going to answer our prayer, and it's there. So that's what's going on in prayer. So why does prayer work? Well, I did a little digging in, trying to answer this question, and I just want to share my thoughts with you. Now, I have a hobby, an interest that not a lot of people have. And it's I just like the concept of how meteorology works, right? How weather works. So since I was a little kid, I mean, I was just fascinated, right? Waiting for the snow to fall, and it never fell in the valley until I was 35 years old, and then it finally fell. And then telling my kids, you'll never see that again, and then 14 years later or so, I was like, okay, Lord, I give up. I waited my whole childhood, and no. But I have this hobby. I like to just understand it, watch it. And I've learned that if you combine certain things and weather, things happen. For example, if you have a warm water and you have a low pressure kind of area in the low levels where the water is, and then the highest level, you have high pressure area. When you have that combination of events, something powerful starts to come together, right? And we know them as hurricanes or tropical systems. So you have to have warm water. You got to have low pressure at the bottom, and you got to have high pressure at the top. And it's just like a heat engine, right? And it starts swirling and swirling, coming together, and something powerful comes out of that. So there are certain ingredients that come together. The swirling of a hurricane is what ends up coming together. In the same way, when you combine certain ingredients in God's Word, things begin to swirl in the spirit realm, and they come together as a powerful source, a powerful thing that happens in the kingdom of God. And these ingredients start coming together is why I believe prayer works. Now, first of all, God said it, right? So that's the base. But if you look at the ingredients happening in prayer, what's going on, it's kind of like the hurricane. It's kind of like warm water and low pressure and high pressure. And it just comes together to bring something powerful. This is why prayer works. When you begin to pray with passion and begin to believe and begin just to do it, to pray with intent to get God's attention or to persuade God for certain things to begin to happen, then things will begin to come together. And this is what comes together in prayer. First of all, faith is activated when you pray. Amen? Right? What is faith? Let's go to James or Hebrews chapter 11, 1. What is faith exactly? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me list the ingredients that come together when you begin to pray. Faith begins to come together. Obedience to God's word is put into action. And humility, dependence on God, right? Like that scripture says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, humble in that sense means be totally dependent upon God or totally submit yourself. Humble yourself. Submit yourself to God. So what happens, these ingredients come together. Faith, obedience, and humility. Have you heard of those words before in the Bible? Yes. And when you pray, those things they swirl. And something powerful happens. So if you look at faith, for example, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So faith means that you're believing in something that you can't quite see with your eyes, but you know, and you're acting as if you know. Right? The evidence of things not seen. The evidence is your confidence. Right? Have you ever met that person that just, everything's just going to be awesome. You know, it's going to be great. God's going to move. I believe it. Confident. That's evidence, right? Confidence. So faith is not just believing, but is beginning to act in a way that you're sure God's going to move in that regard. You may not know how, or you may not know all the pieces, but you just know and trust, right? Pray and trust. That's what it says up here, right? Pray and trust. So faith, that's what faith is, believing. So when you pray, faith is activated. And verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." So when you begin to pray and activate faith, you're pleasing God. And when you please your parents, you get stuff. Right? Have you ever noticed that? Your children, yeah. Children start pleasing you. They know how to talk to you the right way. Or they go through all the trash and you're like, what do they want? Right? They're just setting you up and you know it because they wouldn't do it otherwise. Or they start throwing the puppy dog eyes and the I love yous. Right? Of course, when they get older, that doesn't work anymore, right? It's like, but when they were small, you remember, right? You remember. So faith is activated. And obedience. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, we had studied this a while back about the whole concept of obedience. And I spent some time on obedience. Because obedience is a big deal. Obedience. If you can grasp obedience, to obey this word, to obey the righteousness of God, to obey the right way to live. When you are under obedience, you are going to have good success. You are going to see blessings in your life that people will be jealous of. Because obedience is easy to say, easy to understand, but people actually putting into practice obedience is a different story. Amen? Because we're human beings. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, it says this, or verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and obey, right? Observe to the according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And God was telling Joshua, if you obey this book, the commandments, you're going to see prosperous times and you're going to succeed in what you're doing. If you think you're failing in life, drop everything you're doing, figure out how to obey this word. Amen? You know, if you're really like, oh, I'm just not doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. I feel like I don't see the prosper. I don't see the success. Drop everything you're doing and begin to serve this, what's in this word. You will see the change. I'm not saying it's easy because you gotta die to pride. Amen. You gotta die to self-will. Remember Jesus said, if you're gonna follow me, you gotta die to live. Right? You got to take up the cross. Got to follow me. But if you are in that point in your life where it's like, it's just not working, You need obedience. You need obedience, right? You need to be obedient. So when you begin to pray, you begin to activate faith, and you begin to activate obedience. Wow. That starts. The last one, humility. Well, I guess I missed 1 Corinthians 2:9. Because, let's do that. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is one of my favorite scriptures where it says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." See, for people who love God and are obedient and are have faith, for those people, God has good plans. God has tremendous plans. So much so that he says, you won't even believe it, what I have planned for you. You won't believe the amazing plan I have for you. So the last point I want to make is Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, 4, humility. We're going to end with this, with humility. Yes, my sermons are getting shorter. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. The short sermons are good, right? Humility. Chapter 18 of Matthew. 18 verse 4. It says here in Matthew 18 verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Well, that's pretty clear. And in this sense, humility means dependence on God. Because what does a child do when they're very young? If you tell the child Santa Claus is coming, yeah. The child is dependent on you telling them the truth, right? They're dependent on you completely. And that's what this signifies here. So when you are humble, you're totally dependent on God. That leads to greatness. So look at the ingredients coming together. You begin to pray. You begin to like really pray. I don't mean, I mean really pray. Right? You know what I'm talking about. There's a difference. When you begin to really focus, really pray, and not, this is the one thing I'm learning is praying, when you're praying with time constraints, I'm learning that's not good in my life. I'm giving you my personal, what God's dealing with me about. When you begin to pray and you're like, okay, I got 5 minutes. All right, let's go. God, you better speak to me in 5 minutes. You know, I'm learning like, okay, I need to finish everything I'm supposed to do today. And this day right now, right here, I don't have a time limit. I'm just going to pray. And if it's over, it's over in five. The point is, I was constraining in my prayer life how much time God had to work things through me. So I'm doing my best to finish whatever I can throughout the day. And when it's time for me to pray before I go to bed, you know, sometimes I may go longer and I may be up till midnight, but that's okay. Because usually if God's really moving that much in your prayer time, you won't even notice the time, to be honest. But see, what begins to activate when you begin to pray and really pray, it's faith, obedience, and humility. There's a lot of power in those things. There's a lot that God does with that. Faith pleases God. Obedience leads to multiple blessings. And humility is greatness. So as the hurricane begins to swirl with those ingredients and come together, with the low level and the warm water and the high pressure at the top, just the same way that hurricane begins to swirl, prayer begins to swirl things. So I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. We're entering a time, church, and some of you, you know, you're being challenged in your heart. You're being challenged. God is speaking to us through this series that prayer is serious. Prayer is not just if I have time. Prayer is not just constraining God to a time. Prayer is blocking everything else out and saying, Lord, I have time for you. Here I am. Speak to me. Here's my request. I'll speak to you. Prayer is talking to God. I want to open up the altars. If you just need that little change. And by coming to the altar, what you're basically just saying to yourself, I'm going to turn on that switch. I need to be more intentional. I want these ingredients of faith and obedience and humility to start activating in my life to a powerful answer to God's prayer so that He can be glorified. And you just need to turn on that switch in your own heart, in your own mind. That's what today is for. The prayer works. And we read through some reasons why it works. Because it activates faith and it activates obedience. And it activates humility. And it swirls together to a powerful manifestation of God blessing His people. So I want to spend some time in closing for you to respond, to activate this, to get these ingredients going in your life, but for real. Not just pretending or going through the motions, but just you and God praying, petitioning Him, crying out to Him, and believing. And as we learned last week, God can be persuaded. But it's time for God's people who are called by His name to be humble and to turn on this switch and begin to be intentional about their prayer life and walk with confidence. God's going to answer them because He loves you. He loves you. All these prayer requests that are up here, you wrote them down. You took action. You put them up there. But that's not the end. We learned last week, God wants us to continually cry out, continually ask. Because like our Heavenly Father, He wants to hear His child's be dependent on Him. He likes that. He's a jealous God. So that's not the end. We're going to agree and believe and pray. But we got to keep going. We got to keep praying without ceasing. So on the count of three, if you just want to make a statement today to your own heart, I'm turning on the switch. I'm going to put these ingredients together and the swirl is going to begin and there's going to be power in my prayer life. And that's what this day is about. Prayer works. Don't surrender prayer to the enemy. Don't surrender that power. Turn on the switch today. So on the count of three, if you're determined, I'm going to turn on this switch in my heart that this is important to me. Prayer is important. And it's part of this journey. It's part of this journey to see it all come to fruition, the answers. It's part of the journey. So if that's you just want to make the statement, you want to come. One, two, three.